The Watson Weekly Podcast is sponsored by Rithm. In commerce, every second counts. Rithm helps brands and retailers connect every channel with AI-powered automation and insights, giving you the clarity to make smart decisions, adapt fast, and grow efficiently. Learn more at Rithm.com. That's Rithum.com. Today, I wanted to bring you something a little special. If you didn't know, we host our own events here at the Watson Weekly, and our last one was in New York City on Sunday, January 11th, prior to the National Retail Federation Big Show event. I gave a keynote to a packed audience, over 100 industry luminaries, over one big topic: being bold in 2026. One of the most interesting ideas in the keynote is the idea of the Goliath paradox. From the story of David and Goliath, we understand that David won, but it's not often clear why he won, and more importantly, why Goliath lost. In particular, we always are taught that scale is safety, when in fact, the only real moat is actually motion in today's economy. If you're not innovating, you're dead. This causes a problem for larger companies because size often means you tend to slow down compared to your more nimble roots. It can be a harsh lesson to learn. One of my favorite parts of this keynote is the discussion about Skims and the opportunity they took advantage of over Victoria's Secret. And the message behind it being that in 2026, brands need to compete on identity. What is your value proposition to your consumers? And Skims has been able to own the combination of technical fabric excellence and body positivity brilliantly. An intersected space that really did not exist until Sarah Blakely in Spanx, who was probably the true innovator here, was able to create the space that Kim Kardashian and Skims took advantage of. Finally, the keynote ends with a clear challenge. The goal is not to either be David or Goliath, but recognize that whichever you are, there are advantages and disadvantages. And in either case, motion is not optional. It's a requirement. If you find conversations like this helpful, make sure you're following the show so you don't miss future episodes. Also, if you're not subscribed to our newsletter, check that out at www.watsonweekly.com. Thanks everyone for coming out. I wanted to start with thanking our sponsors. There's quite a number, and we have a couple from last year too. Starting with Radio, our title sponsor. EDES, our strategic partner, Pipe 17, Platinum Partner, One Stock Platinum Partner, Rithm. Rise AI, Revo, Rider, Miracle, Crystal, thank you so much. Thank you again. I'd like to give special thanks to our two-time sponsors. We started with ours last year, including Pipe 17 and Rider. Thank you again. This is an interesting day. There's so much going on. There's like Eagles games happening and whatever. So I am. There's a lot of agentic conversations happening out there. I wanted to back up a second for this keynote and talk to you a little bit about not just sort of what's happening, but the mindset change that's required to actually do something great in 2026. And it's a mindset that is enabled by speed, agility, and most importantly, adaptability to survive. And we're already getting some like good applause on this. It's a concept I'm calling the Goliath paradox. And the interesting thing for me is, it's like, duh, like we all know the story. Like, we know David, we know Goliath, we know who wins. But in business, it seems like we've forgotten why he won. And it also seems like we've forgotten that size without motion is just a target. Welcome to commerce in 2026. I want everyone to mentally rewind to the year that just happened, 2025. What did the year feel like? A little fear, wasn't it? Chaos. It was a year of wait and see. It was a year of indecision. As I look out across the room, there's how many tariff announcements caused you to be like, what do I do now? Especially if you're in the furniture category. Shout out to my furniture peeps. I think you're still going. We waited and waited for the bottom to fall out in the economy. And it didn't happen. Yet we spent all that time waiting. Was it productive? We spent the first half of the last year forecasting and re-forecasting and re-re-forecasting. All it did was paralyze us. When we could have been taking action, the overriding factor from all that forecasting in boardrooms that I talked to, perhaps your boardroom, was paralysis. We saw also a billion agentic announcements. Like, that's stopping anytime soon. If today is any judge, this week is any judge, Mr. Retail Agentic is in the room. So good. And 2026, there's going to be more of that, folks. So strap yourself in. But the reality is, most brands, 80, 90% of brands and retailers, haven't done a thing yet. They're still waiting. Those are just the facts. And if you look at 2026, now the fast followers have woken up. Meaning like, hey, the early adopters are there. Now we need to start doing something too. That just means the pace is going to increase. But the fact that these retailers haven't adopted yet means we're still in the bottom half of the first inning. It's early days. And so what I'm trying to get across to you today is the mindset that's going to require and enable you to thrive in all this chaos that's happening. And to do that, we're going to have to unlearn a big lesson that we've learned for the past 20 years. We were taught to fear being the underdog. Like, nobody wants to be small. How can you get funding when you're small? We were taught that cash is king, that scale is safety. We were taught that we can build a revenue moat so wide and so deep that no one can jump over it, and then this is our castle would be safe. And I'm here to tell you, that is a freaking lie. There's no safety in indecision anymore. The only safety is in motion. And the real danger is being the giant who can't move. And the reason is your size becomes an impediment to your success. Goliath didn't lose because they were weak. Goliath was the strongest man on the battlefield. Goliath lost because he was heavy. He lost because he was slow. He lost because by the time the rock was headed inbound, he couldn't turn his head fast enough to dodge it. And let's be honest.
How many are you feeling heavy right now?
It's a smaller one. Sorry.
Parts are feeling heavy. I talk to a lot of executives out there, and the overriding fear is paralysis. That's what you're seeing. They're looking at their tech stack, that monolith they built back in 2012. They're looking at that org structure that takes 12 layers of approval to change a freaking landing page. There should not be any groans after that. This is what's holding you back. And what we're talking about here is, how do we move past that? As a group and as an industry, so that we can become more nimble and do better for our customers. Because doing nothing is not doing something. Ultimately, we think that standing still is some kind of safe harbor. Like, if I don't make a decision, I can't make a mistake. Ultimately, the way things shake down is, if you make a decision, you can succeed and build on your success. If you make a decision and fail, you can pivot. Like friends, pivot. And you can fix the problem, any problems that happen. But ultimately, if you don't make any kind of decision, then what we're talking about is really stagnation. And so intellectually, like, why is this happening? I think humans are just kind of wired that way. And we ultimately fear what we can't see, the unknown, the devil we know. This is what we're used to. You know, the people that we're comfortable with, they make me comfortable. The process that makes us comfortable. That comfort has become shackles for our culture. And if you're in one of the biggest tectonic shifts in technology in the last 30 years, that's not a good place to be. So how do we start to break out of these things? And I want to actually go back for a little bit of a history lesson, because I've been in e-commerce a long time. And through all of this, really, not fully to 95, but pretty close. We've been through a big history here. And it feels like something big is happening again. The first era is for the age of presence. And I think the easiest thing to say about it is, like, you build it, you come. Anyone could just throw up a website. You can monetize those eyeballs and hopefully sell it to someone else, you know, before the bubble burst. Age two here, age of efficiency, and we've talked about the age of efficiency some. This is the Amazon effect. Two-day shipping, CAC arbitrage. All these things, it's ultimately a race to the bottom. But at the end of the day, if you can make your math work, you're golden, because you had that flywheel reinforcing you. You were shipping faster, that allowed you to lower prices, that gave you more customers give you more scale gives you better service gives you better vendors, more eyeballs, more assortment, and the flywheel spun on. That changed a little bit with the age of social, where brands needed to start to become media companies first and retailers second. Every brand needed a voice. What's our voice? Your voice is what your soul is supposed to be. We tend to forget that. What we're entering now is really the age of intelligence. It's no longer enough to simply generate and respond to demand. Instead, we must anticipate demand before it even comes. That's really the only way forward. And the only way to do that is to actually have tools and people and processes to make it happen. I want to talk a little bit about some of the bold challengers that are out there that have made this happen and what enables some of these transformations. Lululemon, Skims. It's kind of ironic, kind of the Nike. But Lululemon and Aloe. Lululemon is the ultimate establishment. They build an empire based on the power of their technical fabrics and the yoga studio. The entire viral coefficient of Lulu was kickstarted by essentially yoga instructors. The definition of a juggernaut, the definition of a Goliath. I've said to clients on calls, why the hell does the world need another yoga company? The short answer is they didn't. Aloe competes on lifestyle. Lulu competes on the studio. Aloe saw that people don't just want clothing for when they're in the studio. They want clothing for the 60-minute coffee run after they get out of the studio. They want the airport look as we're lounging. Ultimately, Lulu was helping us solve a problem while we're at a specific place. Aloe was helping us do something very different. Be who we might want to be. And that's what they were selling. Exhibit B. Victoria's Secret versus Skims. Very ironic Nikes on this slide given our content earlier today. Victoria's Secret, the definition of establishment. For decades, they owned the lingerie market. Seemingly impenetrable. And what are they selling? Angels? A fantasy. Ultimately, the vision of the reality that they were portraying far outpaced where their customer was able to get to. On the other side, Skims. Of course, we have the Kardashians, maybe the greatest marketers the world has ever known. A company that Nike feels compelled to partner with to save themselves, some might say. So social celebrity plays a big part. But that's not enough to explain what's happening here. Skims is solving a problem that Victoria's Secret never even thought about. If you think about a company that could have entered this space, it was Victoria. You already had all the garments there. You were already in the store. What Skims instead was selling was the combination of high fashion engineering and body positivity. That's what they're selling. Ultimately, Victoria was telling you who you should be. On the other hand, Skims was meeting women, and increasingly men, exactly where they are. While Victoria was selling lingerie and fantasy, Skims sold confidence. In 2026, the formula for success in an era where anyone could generate copy, millions of copy, millions of images. If you don't have time, your agent's going to do it for you. Everyone has dynamic pricing. These bold brands did not wait for a study of the measurable ROI on their brand soul. Instead, they stood for something. And standing for something is how you're going to compete this year. Because the same slop isn't going to get you to the next phase. So as we start and you go forward with the rest of your weekend and into NRF, there are a few choices you have in front of you. You could be timid. You could be afraid of AI slop, worried about how much data you don't have. You can embrace incrementalism. If we just get a little bit better, it'll be just fine. This is the path of the Goliath that's heavy, held down by threads. Or you can be bold. You can act before you have all the data. You can act on conviction. You could build an experience that you know your customers are going to crave. The brands that we're talking about and the people in this audience all have the ability to make it happen. The question is, do you have the mindset to make it happen? That adaptability quotient, or AQ. And so for 2026, really, the question is not, are you David? Are you Goliath? Really, the question is, are you the giant who can't move? Or are you the giant who learned how to dance? And so in 2026, my challenge to you is embrace the fear, embrace your change, set the pace, and do it. Thank you.
Good job, man. Thanks.